good, bad, downright embarrassing. But considering
the circumstances,
exactly. Considering the stuff you know on me, I'm going to keep it good. For the last almost 18 years, you've been a pivotal role person in my life. You've been a role model. You've been a pastor. You've been a mentor. But most importantly, you've been my friend. And there's been so many others that you have impacted over your life and over the span of your ministry. And Rainey, today is just to tell you thank you. Joey, will you go ahead and switch it?
What?
Yeah. That's why I was back there doing tag, because I was changing things. You know, through tough times, you've always been there for me. You've always stood there. I've always been able to pick up my phone and call you and say, hey, Randy, I need you. Randy, I need your help. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Hey, I got this situation. How would you handle it? But you know, for the last 14 years, I mean, well, the last 24 years, you've been extremely faithful to God. And God has definitely blessed you. I mean, you're one of the most loved people at church camp. We're not going to go through the list of church camp nicknames that you've gotten over the years, because I know Brother Clayton and I could sit here and just go through them all. But on behalf of Olive Hill Baptist Church, on behalf of myself and all those whom you have impacted over the years, I want to say thank you. And I talked to another young pastor that you had a huge impact on as well. Terry Simmons, Jr., little Terry. And he wanted to say this to you. He said, Brother Randy, you've impacted my life and ministry more than you will ever know. You taught me what it means to be dedicated to the work of God while preaching the Word of God. It's not easy staying at a church. It's not easy having the difficult and unpleasant conversations with disgruntled and difficult church members. However, there is joy in planting roots in a community and seeing people grow in their faith, their children trust Christ, and those children get married. There isn't enough time to say how grateful I am for you and Sister Terry, but may God continue to bless you and all of LABC. Randy, you are loved, and we've been planning this for a while, so if you're going to kill anybody, kill Mama, because it was her idea. Don't kill me, I'm just the messenger. Oh, and by the way, you're not preaching today either. Brother Clayton is. So, Randy, for once,
I take that back. Next time you're tagging up.
When's the last time you were able to just be a church member? And just sit and be a part of the church service?
I can think of a lot of things I should say. I can say, tell you some of the wonderful stories of church camp about firecrackers going off in the middle of the night, people all dressed up, painted their face with a magic marker that wouldn't come off, so that's quite a unique thing. But I guess the thing that I would say more than anything else is that has such a great appreciation for you, Randy. And you, we've been through a lot. We've been down the journey, the road, and we've hopefully, prayerfully, we've impacted others. That's what life is all about. I'm so thankful just to be here. This is a time, and I almost couldn't keep my mouth shut, but I did, all the way up to the end.
Good. I mean, you know, I even told him, I said, next time you come into town, let me know so I'll let you preach.
You didn't know that I was going to preach already.
Yeah.
Well, we just have this. You know, I'm such a simple man. We just have this thought process. we can go on and on and on, and I can tell you about Randy, but I'm sure that you know as much about him as I do, maybe even more. But I'm thankful to be here to share God's word with you. That's, to me, if you really want to know the summation of a preacher, is what he says in the pulpit, how he lives, what he preaches. And I think that's, Randy, that's where, why we both have, or why I have an appreciation for you. I try to live, sometimes I metamorphosize about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the other part of it comes out. That's a joke. But anyway, I'm here to share God's word, and that's the go. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 10 through verse 14. I have titled this message, Failing to Live Up to One's Potential. When you look at what happened here, we got a lot of history here. We won't be able to cover all of it because it hasn't been a lot of things said. But notice what the Lord says to the people of Israel. Actually, more precise, to Judah. It says, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, and after at Babylon I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to the place. Pay special attention to verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to have a good expected end. And I thought there is really that you have this potential. This is what, I called you, I provided for you, I gave you everything you need to fulfill this potential. And my question that I have to ask myself right there is, when you look at verse 10, how did they miss it? And we can be very critical toward them. We can say, well, they should have known. But how many people today are living and not fulfilling their potential? Are there lessons that we can learn? Can I learn from somebody else's mistake? Matter of fact, one of the things God said to Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, you didn't learn from Israel, they're your sister. So I want to ask myself this question. Now, before I ask these questions, when God had brought Israel and Judah from the promised land, they had a bright future. They had great potential. But for some reason or another, they missed it. And I wonder today, and I can't help myself but ask this question, why is it that they never lived to their potential? Why is it that we never oftentimes lived to our potential? I believe God, when you look at verse 11, God has a certain end. He says, you have great potential. I provided all this stuff for you. But how many times and how many believers are sitting on the sidelines because they missed it? What can we learn? How can we think about it? How can I experience it? So these are questions I want to ask, and we'll deal with some principles in just a moment. But listen, my first question is, why is that they failed to live their potential? What happened was, could God not perform this beforehand? He says, this is what I have for you. But after 70 years, somehow, my point is, they missed it. Have you ever felt like you missed your potential? Have you ever felt like that maybe in our own application, I know how most people think, well, I am not Judah, and I didn't go, and I'm not Jerusalem, and I haven't been in captivity. And we use all these different excuses, and we look at them and we don't realize that this word was written for us to understand that God has something so much more for us. Well, I'm living pretty good right now, but are you limited to everything that God wants you? Are you experiencing that potential? Are you experiencing that expected end, is my question. And if not, why? How do I know why? What happened? So let's look at something that we can gain for it. Let's just look at my first point is simple. They missed it. That's all that is, first point. They missed it. what potential they have, when you look at what God says about them and everything, they have so much going for them. You know, when you become a believer, we have so much going for us. We just don't realize what God can do in our lives. We don't realize that God has this awesome end in store for us. He wants to bless us. And yes, and we know about prosperity preachers, but I'm not one of them. But I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes we settle for a whole lot less than what God has for us.
Amen.
Whatever the reason is, and we have to learn, how do we stop that? How do we live that potential? What went wrong? Listen to the promise before they ever went into the promised land or into Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verses 1 and verse 2, and let's hear what God said. He says, "And it shall come to pass that if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord," or Moses held him, he says, "to observe to do all things that he that commanded, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Notice what he says, "And I will bless you. I will put you higher than all the nations." These are all the positive things that I have intended for you to experience, but at the time that we're looking at it in history, somehow or another it went wrong. They went wrong. And how can I learn from it is always my question. How can I learn from where other people's mistake? Is there a thing, is there something that I can grasp a hold of and find the principles for living up to my potential? Because somehow or another they missed it. I maintain that there is. Go to chapter 2 and let me show you some things. Let's look at chapter 2. Let me give you the first principle that will never allow you to live up to your potential. Number one is this. When our love for the Lord is not what it used to be or what it should be, you and I will never live up to our potential. Did you get that? When our hearts are turned away from God, when we're not madly in love with Jesus, when we're not experiencing this love relationship that God has sent Christ to die on the cross on our behalf that we can experience, when these things, when we begin to drift away, when we begin to lose sight of this love relationship, guess what? This love relationship is one of the keys to experiencing your potential. You say, "Well, what do you mean? How can you prove that?" Well, let's think of just a couple of verses here in different places. Number one, if you look there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, about verse 4, verse 5, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind." So here's what I base what I'm saying is this. If my key to fulfilling my potential has to resonate or has to be in my love relationship with Jesus. And let me tell you something. If you've ever been backslidden, you know the first thing that happens in your life is that your love for the Lord begins to go the opposite direction. And when you stop loving the Lord as you ought to, you fill your life with other things and you move away from the Lord. Is that true? So if I'm going to live up to my potential, I have to understand, I have to maintain and constantly work on this love relationship with God. He said, "Well, how do you know that's what they did?" Look here in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. And I'm just going to mention this. Notice that he says, "Go out and shout this message to Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, I remember how eager you were to please me." Then going out a little bit further, he says, "How you love me and follow me." This is how it was at the beginning. When they loved the Lord as they should, guess what happened? God blessed them. They were fulfilling their potential. They were doing great things. God made them a mighty nation. And let me just say this, church, and I'm just going to preach. That's all I know how to do, Rick. You know me. The bottom line is this, when you and I as a church, or as a church, no matter where you go or where you are, When we have our relationship as it ought to be with the Lord, then we can fulfill a lot more and accomplish a lot more than what we do when we drift away. When I look at Jeremiah, one of the things I see, first of all, is that their love relationship with God had begun to diminish. And when their love relationship with God began to diminish, guess what happened? They moved away from God. They stopped living up to their potential. They got involved in other things. Their worship became empty. So let me just say this. If you don't get this, if you don't get anything else at all today, listen to me. Always work on your love relationship with Jesus. Did you get that? Always work on your love relationship with Jesus. If He is the source of your potential, then you are our potential. Then you and I should always, continually work on that love relationship. Because without that, guess what? We will never fulfill that potential. We will never feel that potential. You say, well, Brother Clayton, why should I love Him? Because He first loved us. Why should I love Him? Because He gave His Son to die on the cross in order that I could have eternal life. He loved me. He proved that love on Calvary's cross. But listen to me. My goal in my life is to constantly develop a greater love relationship with God in order that I can fulfill my potential. Because if I don't love God, the source of my potential, guess what happens? Point two. Principle two. Principle two is simply this. One cannot live up to his or her potential when she turns away from God. So here's the connection. You can look at this and we'll talk about the Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5. Here's the connection. Once we begin to drift away from our love relationship with God ceases to be what it should, there's something that takes place. We begin to move away from God. Let me ask you this question. It's very simple. If we move away from the source of our potential and we keep going the opposite direction, how much do you think that we will fulfill our potential? If Jesus and God is the source of the potential, not only are we to love Him, but we're also to what? Walk with Him. To move toward Him, not away from Him. You see, one of the things that I noticed here was this, is that once their love relationship with God began to diminish, they begin to go the opposite direction. I see that all the time. The church records are full of that. Church rolls are full of that. Of people who used to love the Lord. And what are they now? They're not here. Why are they not here? Because something happened. Well, we blame this and we blame that. No, the real issue is simply this. Their relationship with the Lord began to diminish. They begin to allow other things to move into their life. And not only when their love relationship diminished, guess what? They moved away from the Lord. The church is still here. How long has this church been here? You get it? If I'm going to fulfill my potential, I have to understand, I have to love the Lord, and I have to walk with the Lord. I can't tell you how many times someone said, well, I just love Jesus and we're just mad in love, man. Well, are you going to church? I haven't been to church for 40 years. Well, how in the world can you tell me you love Jesus and you love the Lord and you moved away from everything, the main thing, the institution that He has set aside for us to go worship at? So let me just say this. When our love begins to grow cold, there's something else happens. It opens the door for us to move away from the Lord. You know what happens then? Principle three is simply this. We can never live up to our potential when we replace God with empty things of this world. When you and I begin to move away from the Lord, we're going to fill our lives with something. God asks this question in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13. He says, how in the world can you move away? How can you reject the fountains of living water and you go to something that's empty and has no value?
So here's what happened. Once we move away from the Lord, guess what? We begin to fill our lives with things not of God, not of the Lord, not of something that encourages and empowers us to walk this life. We fill our lives full of things that are empty and worthless and meaningless. And guess what? When that happens, we find ourselves away from God. We find ourselves in a place where we're just not listening to God. Listen to me. The principle four is simply this. When we can never live up to our potential as long as we're refusing to respond to God. Did you get that? As long as we're refusing to respond to God. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. He said, "Where will I plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children I will plead." The word plead has an idea of casting or making I'm trying to think how to put this. It is to say, here, this is my case against you. But it also has an idea of constantly moving you, constantly pleading you with you, constantly trying to get you what? To come back. They moved away from God. Now let me just say this, as a person who has been saved and also been backslidden, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. No matter how far I went, no matter what I got involved in, God was constantly pleading with me, what? Not to go the opposite direction, not to destroy my life, not to ruin my life, but what? To draw back and move back to this place, to Him, in order that for you and I to fulfill our potential. And there is a process. There is, when you look at this and you really think about it, your life grows cold, you move away, then you fill your life with something else, and no matter what God says, no matter what God does, no matter how God pleads, because listen to me, when you read the book of Jeremiah, He is constantly pleading with Judah and Jerusalem to come back to Him, and they refuse to respond. When you and I lose, when our love becomes cold, and we move away from the Lord, guess what happens? We stop listening. Now, I have been backslidden. I hate to admit that. I'm sure none of y'all ever have. But I can tell you this. The Holy Spirit always, always, always pleaded with me, moved me, compelled me to what? Move back to God. Because why? It is there where I reach the heights of my potential. It's not in the world. It's not doing the things of the world. It is serving Jesus.
Right.
Refusing to respond. You didn't think I was going to get this, did you, Randy? Principle 5 is pretty interesting too that I noticed. We can never live up to our potential as long as we refuse to admit our sin and our failure before God. If we stop listening to God, guess what's not going to happen? You and I will never confess our sins if we never listen to God. Do you see the progress? I mean, do you see the succession as they come through here? And you ask this question, why do they not live up to their potential? And you say, well, that's them. This is us. But guess what? I promise you, if you allow these things to happen in your life, you will never fulfill your potential in Jesus. You just can't. He's the source. God is the source of our potential. Notice here in verse 23 of chapter 2. How can you say, I'm not defiled, and I have not run after Belial? The point is what God was saying. How in the world can you not repent? How can you refuse? And you know good well in your heart, you moved away from me. Huh. How many times you might say, well, Brother Clayton, I'm a believer and I'm this and that. Well, let me ask you a simple, simple question. How many times have you and I sit and listened to the Word of God preached And we know the Holy Spirit was dealing with us. And we know that there's something wrong. Our relationship with God is not what it ought to be. And we're not living up to our potential because there is a barrier between us and Jesus. Holy Spirit is convicting. He's always calling. He's always challenging us. And yet, we won't respond correctly to God. There's many people today who will tell you, I know what God wants me to do, but what is the ultimate result of this? Have you ever thought about what the ultimate result of all this is? Jeremiah uses this term 13 times alone. Backsliding. Ooh. Backsliding. The reason why they never lived up to potential because there were times they were right with God. There were times they moved away from God. But for whatever the reason, God says that these people were hard-necked, stiff-necked. Their hearts were hardened and all these things. We can use all these terms. But the end result was they became backslidden. And they didn't want to hear anything God had to say to them. How many times in our lives do we shut off God and don't want to hear what He has to say to us because we know we need it will cause us and challenge us to change our lives? Ooh, I didn't say that, did I? But then you must see what is happening. He uses this term 13 times just in his book, you're backslidden, perpetual backslidden. What is that? It's simply this, that your heart becomes hardened and therefore you will not listen to God. God offered them healing and restoration. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, return, you backslidden children, and I will hear you. He asked them to acknowledge where they were and He would give them forgiveness. To fulfill their potential, it is our potential, it is imperative that you and I turn back to God. If God is the source of your potential and my potential, we're not going to find that potential, nor are we going to ever be able to rise up to it outside of a right relationship with God. One last thing, and then we'll go to other verses. I'm not going to preach to you. What time is it? I don't even know. You know, I haven't preached in a long time, so y'all just might not ever go home.
Just keep going.
But there's something else that I see that is interesting to me as I looked over this. There was one other thing that prevented them from fulfilling their potential. And this is something that we're not careful. We'll all find ourselves doing at one point in time. Fake and empty worship. How many times have you come to church and pretended to worship? You know, the stare that I give you and things. I'll use Sister Betty because I know I will be. You know, as a preacher's wife, there's been times she told me, I'm really having to work hard not to pretend or to pretend to worship. Because of circumstances, because of life, because of challenges, because of situations and people and all the things there. And you'll say, well, look at her. She's a preacher. Why? She ain't supposed to go to work. How many times have you come into the presence of God and begin to worship? I believe that worship is one of the key factors that ignites and energizes us for tomorrow, for Monday morning. You say, well, where did you get that at? Look at chapter 6, verse 20. Notice he says, for what purpose to me comes frankincense and all this stuff? But what he's simply asking, why are you bringing me this empty worship? It means nothing to me. What is God trying to get? What is the ultimate principle? He wanted them to come back to them with their hearts. He didn't want them to pretend church. He didn't want them to just go through the motions. He wanted them to return to Him with their hearts. And listen to me, when our love's right with Jesus, there is something that happens that we are called and challenged and we enjoy worship. All right. Let's look at the cure. You didn't think I was going to get there. Let's look at the rest of chapter 11. Number one is simply this. Know that God has a greater plan for us than we have for ourselves. Did you get that? Know that God has a greater plan for us than we have for ourselves. Notice what he says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. What he is saying is, I have such a greater view of you and a greater potential that I have for you than you could ever have dreamed of. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I want to fulfill my potential in Jesus. I don't want to play church. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to walk Monday, get up Monday morning and live my life in the world. I simply just want to fulfill my potential in Jesus Christ and impact those around me. That's my goal. How do I understand it? I have to have this right relationship with God. Oftentimes, I believe we settle for way too less when God wants us and desires to bless us. He wants something so much greater. Now, I'm going to say this, church. I believe God has something greater in store for you than what you're willing to admit or maybe understand, because he has something so much better in mind. If you and I will just connect, we'll plug into God. Guess what? God will do something that nobody else could do.
Sure.
Here we find that you and I need to listen to God and understand that he has such a greater potential for us. But here's something. Look here at verse 12. I'm going to show you something. Always know that God is available to you at any given time. When you're broken, he's available. When you're stumbling, he's available. When you fail, he's available. When you have sinned, he's available. Remember, they're just coming out of captivity. Did you get that? They missed it. Well, look at what he says here in verse 12. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Listen to me. It's not our past that's preventing us from reaching our potential. It's our willingness to go to the source of our potential and let him guide us and change us to what we need to change. They have been rebellious, dry, empty, and backslidden. And they have experienced the consequences of their actions and moving away from God. And God tells them, look, I'm not that far away from you. You call upon me and I'll be there for you. Now, I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself. I've been backslidden, I've been broken, I've been all that, I've stumbled and I've failed, and I've sinned. Oh, preacher, don't say, oh, brother, I'm sorry, you're being proper.
I know that.
Brother. But one thing that I know in my humanity is that I have a God in heaven that's willing to listen any time I call upon him, and he desires to empower me to live up to what he sees as my potential. The Bible tells us very plain in James 4 and 8, it says that we'll draw close near to God, and he will draw near to us. And then it says here, cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, your double mind. The word there is simply that the Bible, double mind, means you keep going from the world to God, world to God, world to God. Isn't that sometimes confusing to us? It is to me. My soul cries out, God, I want to know you better. I want to be all that I can be in you. And then my flesh grabs hold of the world and just holds on as tight as I can. Not ever realizing that the closer and the more I cling to the world, the less I'll be all that I can be. Look at verse 13. When we cling to God, we call out to God, we will experience restoration and renewal. You see, God knows that we are broken people. God knows that we stray sometimes. God knows everything about us. There's nothing hid about me in God's eyes. He knows it. I'm thankful that at one call, one prayer, one time calling upon the Lord, that I can experience restoration and renewal. Listen to what he said in verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me. Now notice he didn't say, I'm going to hide myself from you. And the thought is, when you seek me with your heart, guess what? I'm there. Did you get that? I'm there. I'm not too far away. I'm listening to what you're having to say. You can find me. I'm there. Notice he says here, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your heart. Maybe there's the key. How does it always get back to my heart? How is the real issue with my life where I'm with God, walking away from God, fulfilling my potential, falling and breaking, how does it really come down to one simple term or phrase? It is my heart. Proverbs 8:17 says this, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You remember this verse? It's a very popular verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Wow. I don't know about you, but this broken man, so thankful that no matter where I am driven, no matter what I've experienced and even seen, I have a God in heaven who loves me so much that he yearns and desires for something better for me than I even desire for myself. And he is willing to hear my plea. All I have to do is cry to him. 29:14 says this, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. It's not easy to admit that we drifted away. It's not easy to admit that we're not fulfilling our potential in Jesus. It's not easy to say that our love for the Lord is not what it ought to be. I don't know about you, but I've been going through a series of lessons and everything that's challenged me to move back to God and walk with God and make changes in my personal life that in order for I can be closer to God. You know something? More than any of that, in the last few months, the Holy Spirit's been calling and drawing to be closer to God. I don't know about you, but I may not run well, which I don't run at all anymore, but in the end, I want to finish well. I want to be all that I can do, and I cannot be all that I can be unless I have a right relationship with God, unless my love is where it ought to be, and rather turning away from Him, I turn to Him and walk with Him. How about you? What is God saying to you? Are you fulfilling your potential in Jesus Christ? Are you lagging behind? You say, well, Brother Clay, what God do you have? I'm not saying anything except what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit, what's He saying to you today? What's He saying to me? It's so easy to say to you and point your finger, but it's us. Isn't that reality? Are we living up to our potential? And if we're not, why? Have we learned anything today? I want to challenge you today. Don't hold back. Don't let the world cause you to fail to respond to God as He would call you to. Listen to His voice, His small, still voice. Will you stand? But then you have to turn this part of it over to you.
Let's all stand together. I think everything kind of works out the way it's supposed to. But I absolutely needed to hear that message this morning. Probably if I'd preached it, I would have heard it. Thank you. The message was loud and clear. For all those who do believe, we're not making the most of what God has given us. we're not near what God wants us to be. And it's simply for all the reasons that the place spoke of today. We need to love God more. Draw closer to Him. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ into your heart and your life, you've never asked Him to save your soul, you're not a believer, not a child of God, and you're living your life adrift without meaning, without purpose, really, not understanding what's going to happen after you leave this life, He has a greater purpose for you too. One that you're missing. One that you need to hear, that you need to fulfill, and that is everlasting life with Him. So this morning, which category do you fit in? Well, I believe that regardless of the category, whether you're lost or you're saved, you're going to be convicted by the message that you heard, because the Holy Spirit will be working on our hearts, because I don't think we're near. None of us are near where God wants us to be. So as we have an invitation, this is our opportunity to come to Him. Draw close to Him. Tell Him that we're wrong, that we've been wrong, that we've backslidden, that we want to come back to Him. And if you've never, ever been to Him, to come as the Holy Spirit draws you. So let's sing together. This is your opportunity to get your heart and your life right with Him. So as we sing.
Number 543.
Without your wife,
who would have
never made where you're at.
I'm overwhelmed.
And you didn't see the car go around last week.
I will be honest with you, I suspected something.
There's something on there that you'll know where you come from.
Okay. Love y'all. Let's pray and get out of here, okay?
Dan. Oh, and by the way, you saved your fork because the investigator.
That was the clue. I was sitting there going, all right, there's too many ice chests coming in and out. So y'all made the, y'all went ahead and made a decision to have potlucks again.
Yes,
absolutely. Let's see. Let's all stand. Thank you.